And as we look, all of a sudden, then we see this entirely new horizon. And all of a sudden, we're filled with understanding and clarity. And we're like, oh, I had no idea. When I'm back here, I can see nothing. I make it, I persevere, I turn, and I'm like, that's what you were doing. There's no way I could see that until I persevered and walked and turned the corner. And then everything in my perspective changes. For some of us, the corner is glory itself.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Shannon Stark, and I am here with Pastor Robbie. Robbie, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, we're excited for this episode here at Live in the Light. Hey, Shannon, you know what? I heard a really, really cool story about a Live in the Light listener recently.
Can't wait to hear
it. Yeah, and I just have to share it. So long story short, again, it came to our attention. There's a man out in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And so for those Canadians know where it is, and Americans, it's on the East Coast. Great city. But there's a man there, and he somehow is driving his car, stumbled upon Live in the Light. And long story short goes, he testified that he was spoken to by the Lord. The gospel hit his heart. He pulled his car over to the side of the road, gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ right there on the spot. And he's been listening ever since. And so that's just awesome. That is why we are here. I heard that story. Only the Lord can do such things. It's his gospel. It's Jesus Christ. We praise him for that. But just to be encouraged, when you're listening today, man, this is what you're supporting, okay? When you get behind Live in the Light, our Live in the Light team here, it just rejoices in such stories. Eternity is happening through the faithful giving of those who, again, believe in the ministry of Live in the Light. And the story continues a little bit really, really cool, Shannon, is that there's a lady from our church who met this man. She moved out there. She was here in Oakville. She moved out there. And this man, somehow they found out where they were each other from. And then he said, you know what? I've been specifically praying that someone from Hope Bible Church Oakville, that's our church where this ministry comes from, would come out here to join us. And so this lady was beside this man in church, and she's like, well, I'm that answered prayer. And isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And something only the Lord can do, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's why we're here. We want to see radical transformation through the proclamation of God's truth. And so the Lord is working, and we are so excited to see what he has for us today.
Amen. And we're in Romans 8 today, and this is one of the most famous passages in scripture, that God works all things together for our good. But this is not a cliche. This is powerful. So again, let's jump into it. So fun to tell stories. So thankful for our listeners. So blessed by all those who support our ministry. Continue to let us know how God is working. It keeps us going. It puts fuel on our fire. And so we're in Romans 8. Again, you can sit up, hopefully Bible open where you are. And here is today's message. Go, Lord. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we are into the second to last of our messages in our series, which has been entitled, Life is Too Short in Christ Not to Grow. Life is too short not to grow in Christ. Life is too short not to grow in Christ. And on that note, today we see this, that life is too short not to know the will of God for our lives. And that's going to be our sermon title. In part, life is too short not to know God's will for my life. Question for you as we begin today, what do you know regarding God's will for your life? Just stop for a second. Just again, we'd love to ask questions, love to just pause and think and just consider some very important questions. What would you, if someone came up to you and asked you, like, what would you know that is guaranteed to be God's will for your life? What would you say? How would you answer that? I mean, this is what's so, so important as well. So, well, for the single greatest takeaway we see here in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, as we think about the question, what do we know and believe that God's will is for our lives, is here's what the Bible tells us, and again, so clearly in Romans 6, 7, and 8, that God's will for our lives, without a doubt, 100% true, is our sanctification. So make sure we understand that God's will for our lives, there's no question to this. It is one of the greatest, again, parts that we know from Scripture is our sanctification, that we as believers would grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've said this many times in this series, but God has saved us to change us. God has not saved us so that we would sit there and just coast our way into eternity. No, God has saved us, and we'll see today again, to conform us into the image of his son, okay? So I want you to understand that as clearly as the Bible tells us. One of the greatest and most clearest ways we understand what is God's will for your life. Child, brother, sister, take this in, okay? It is that you and I may grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says explicitly in 1 Thessalonians 4 on the screen for you, look at this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Oh man, I wish God's word was more clear, don't you? Like I just wish he would just wouldn't beat around the bush and get to the point. Look at that. Look at how clear that we understand that God's will is for our lives. It's our sanctification to grow more and more like Jesus Christ, to look more and more like Jesus Christ as well. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." God, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you that we can sit here right now and we can see again. This is what the Lord would have for us. So let me put it this way as we approach our passage in Romans 8 today. Salvation are the roots of God's will in our lives. Salvation are the roots of God's will. Sanctification, becoming more like Jesus Christ, is the trunk, so to speak. It is where the other branches rest in. Sanctification is the trunk of God's will. And the question we have now then is this: what are then the major branches that stem from the roots and the trunk in relation to our sanctification? And that's going to frame our message today. Salvation is the roots. Sanctification is the trunk. What are the main branches then that pertain to God's will as it relates to our sanctification? Said in another way, God's will is 100% our sanctification. How does this happen then? Who does this happen by? And where is this ultimately going to take us? All these questions are answered in our passage today as it pertains again to the will of God. We're gonna see the person behind our sanctification, the plan of God within it, and the purpose, the ultimate purpose of where we are going. So for that as an introduction to Romans 8 verse 26 to 30, take a look. This is a loaded text. In many cases, it deserves multiple sermons. One day we will do that itself, but for now, we are going to deal with this. Lord, help us in this sense of this very, very dense and beautiful passage. Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he, God who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints," notice, "according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Verse 30, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Let's start here today when it comes to the will of God for our lives. Number one is this: the Holy Spirit groans for it. That's amazing in itself. When it comes to the will of God in our lives, the Holy Spirit groans for it. You see, groans for what? The Holy Spirit is groaning for the will of God to be manifested and lived out in our lives. This is the person behind, again, our sanctification. Look at the first phrase in verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." So notice the word likewise there. Likewise is a transition from what came before it. So what is this referring to? Likewise is building off, listen, loved ones, the hope that sustains us in our suffering. What is it that sustains us in our suffering? We learned last week in a beautiful, beautiful text, hope is. Hope sustains us within our suffering. We endure, we persevere, we suffer, we continue to have heartache and trial, we are struck down and the like. We continue to walk forward because it's hope, the hope of glory that sustains us and why we groan for the longing of our redemption in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We live with the hope of the glory that is to come. Hope, that's why you have to fill your lives with hope every day. Hope sustains us in our suffering. Where there's no hope, people give up. Likewise now, the Holy Spirit sustains us in our weakness. As hope sustains us in our suffering, the Holy Spirit sustains us in our weakness. I want you to see the word weakness here. It refers to our limitations. It refers to our human condition. Okay, just to confirm, okay? You are weak. I am weak. Just to confirm, you can't do this life. I can't do this life. Just to confirm, you are unable to do the things that God has asked you to do on your own. No one in this room, no one listening is able and strong enough and wise enough. No one. Every single person is weak. You can't get through life on your own. We are weak. We are insufficient. We are in desperate need of God and Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this becomes the starting point of being strengthened by the one who can. Because we are so weak and because we are so limited, verse 26 now explains, for we do not know what we should pray for. Think about that. This is where the Holy Spirit steps in. Let me ask you this question for a second. What percentage of God's wisdom do you think you hold? How would you describe in relation to the infinitude, infinity of God and his perfect, unending, unfathomable wisdom, how much percentage do you think you hold in compared to his wisdom? I'd love to hear some answers to that. A lot of people live and act in such a way that I'm probably like 75% of God's wisdom. I'm just like, oh my goodness, like just like the way we live and act, we walk around as though we're like, yeah, God's smart, but I'm not that far behind, you know? Because the way we actually instruct God ourselves, the way we advise God, the way we complain to God, the way that we judge God, I mean, really? Think about it. Like, what fraction of God's perfect wisdom would you say you have? I mean, when I really am honest about that, it's like 0.0000 and maybe a lot more zeros, maybe one, right? Like this is what's we must position ourselves in the proper place of humility and perspective to say, we don't know. We don't know. And God does. He is so awesome. And we are so small. We are so limited. We are so weak, which is why we need the Holy Spirit. Four times in these two verses, the Holy Spirit is named. You see that? Four times. Twice it says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And once it says that he is groaning in prayer for us. All of this is surrounding that the Holy Spirit, I mean, just think about this for a second. The Holy Spirit is praying that the will of God would be manifested in the lives of believers. It's incredible. There's no doubt in verse 26 that it carries some mystery. Some have suggested that groanings here in verse 26 is referring to believers speaking in tongues in a form of kind of personal prayer. But this cannot be, we believe, this cannot be because the Bible explicitly states in 1 Corinthians 12, where it asks the rhetorical question, do all speak in tongues? Do all speak in tongues? And the answer we know emphatically from Scripture is no. Not everyone speaks in tongues. So how can tongues then be in this application of this? Furthermore, we know when it comes to the gift of speaking in tongues, it's an audible expression of a different language that will be interpreted. And here we say the Holy Spirit is groaning with words that cannot be expressed. So there's just no way that can be what it is. Furthermore, groaning in verse 22, the creation groans. In verse 23, believers are groaning inwardly. And now verse 26, the word groaning happens again. It must be related then to verse 22 and verse 23. There's no way Paul puts that in a whole separate category unto itself. So the Holy Spirit groaning then in the same way that creation and we are groaning, the Holy Spirit doesn't groan himself in terms of what he's longing for, but longing for us. The Holy Spirit is groaning on our behalf, praying for us that we would know the redemption, the completion again of what we are purposed to and in Jesus Christ. So what's happening here is the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. How and why? He prays for what we cannot. He prays for what we know not. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He identifies with our groans. He prays for us in our limitation.
Hey, listeners, did you know that Live in the Light is entirely listener supported? That's right, supported by people just like you. We are here with a mission to see lives radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. If you believe in this message too, would you consider partnering financially with us? You can find more information about how you can give on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Now back to Pastor Robbie and today's message.
Notice here the intimacy and love of our God. I mean, one of the things I want you to see here in verses 26 and 27, look at how intimate God is, Jesus Christ is, the Holy Spirit is with his children. Look at how much he loves you. We can't carry the weight, the Holy Spirit does. We can't do this thing called life. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He intercedes for us. Some great insight we hear from our text. So Jesus, notice this, Jesus intercedes for us in heaven. Verse 34. The Holy Spirit intercedes within us because he lives in us. John Murray put it this way, and this is just really, really neat theology right here and application. The children of God have two divine intercessors. I mean, just think about it. Christ is their intercessor in the court of heaven. The Holy Spirit is their intercessor in the theater of their own hearts. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has two divine intercessors. We can put it this way too, okay? What is Jesus praying for us in heaven? Jesus in heaven at the right hand of God, he is interceding and guaranteeing our salvation. As Jesus prays for every believer, he is ensuring and guaranteeing our salvation. How is the Holy Spirit praying for us? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prepares us for salvation. The Holy Spirit prays for us that we might be prepared for salvation. So how humbling is this today? And maybe you've never thought about it. I haven't thought about this enough, okay? God is praying for you. If you are alive in Jesus Christ right now, God is praying for you.
He is interceding in heaven, and God the Son and the Holy Spirit is in you right now, and he is praying that you are prepared for salvation. At the moments you can't, he comes in. At the very time that's most needed, he steps in and prays for us according to the will of God. Isn't the Holy Spirit awesome? I mean, in Romans 8 is telling us anything too. It's just, man, we have to put emphasis on the power and the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? We have to do it. In our weakness, he helps us. In our limitation, he prays for us. In our ignorance, the Holy Spirit calls out for God's will for us. Now, let's remember too, our entire context of where we've been is the context of suffering. And this is very, very important. Verse 18 stems from into verse 26, 27, 28, and so on. So let's think of how we would pray most often according to our context of suffering. Let's be honest, most of us, or all of us, when suffering hits, we pray for the ceasing of suffering. We pray, deliver me from this evil, which is good. It's obviously very right and biblical. We pray, God, would you take away the pain? God, would you remove this hardship? Would you allow me to be released and delivered from such anguish or whatever it might be within our lives? See, but the Holy Spirit prays differently. The Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God within our suffering. See, the Holy Spirit knows perfectly the mind of God and vice versa. So the Holy Spirit knows it may not be God's will that suffering may cease. But it could very well be that within the suffering, God is doing something extraordinary that would produce a fruit in our lives that would give God's glory for the rest of our existence. So the Holy Spirit doesn't pray necessarily to release them from suffering. The Holy Spirit prays, preserve them within the suffering that, Father, you have allowed them to be subjected to. Two very different things. In the context of suffering, we often don't know what to pray for. Why is this happening? What should I do? What is going on? And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on, and he prays for us accordingly. The Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God within our suffering. Think of this too, loved ones. Huge, huge, massive principle of wisdom and maturity. How many times in our lives have we declared something bad? That's bad. And then God later on showed us that actually he used it for his good and for our good. How many times have we gone through something that in the moment we're like, this is bad, 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 bad. And then you give it some time, you look back and all of a sudden you say, oh, and God shows you, actually, I use that for tremendous purposes and blessing and glory in your life. How many times has that happened? See, what happens in life so often, okay, if you imagine, so often as we're walking down life, and we said this in the past, whatever, there's this massive wall to our left, let's say, and we're walking, all we can see what's in front of us. And we're on a path of suffering. God has purposed and sovereignly allowed us to go through a period of suffering, and we're walking, all we can see is what's in front of us, and it's hard, and there's tears, and there's difficulty, and there's massive amounts of weakness and pain, whatever it is. But at some point, there's an edge of this wall, and there's a corner, but you can't see around the corner. The wall's too high. You can't see what's just around that corner, that expression we use. But as we're walking and we're suffering, I don't get it. And then all of a sudden, we reach the corner, and we turn, and now we look, and as we look, all of a sudden, then we see this entirely new horizon, and all of a sudden, we're filled with understanding and clarity, and we're like, oh, I had no idea. When I'm back here, I can see nothing. I make it, I persevere, I turn, and I'm like, that's what you were doing. There's no way I could see that until I persevered and walked and turned the corner, and then everything in my perspective changes. For some of us, the corner is glory itself. We won't fully understand and make sense of all that's going on until we reach and see Christ face to face. And then everything in that moment makes sense. For some of us, we have to wait till the very, very end. Only by the Holy Spirit. We know nothing compared to God. We know nothing. So many situations we have labeled and drawn conclusions and judged God in infinitesimal understanding as to the infinite vast and sources of wisdom that our God has. How many times has bad in our lives brought us to weakness and brokenness and desperation? And those have become the greatest turning points of our lives. The very things we never wanted, God has used to bring our greatest good. With tears and silence and insufficiency, we sit there busted. And that's when the Holy Spirit shows us how much he cares for us. I remember the season before this church began, before there was even a core group. Busted, broken, don't understand. Seasons of darkness personally, seasons of depression, shared that with you. Sat in silence, in tears, in limitations, in weakness. And the Holy Spirit steps in. I remember the season of when this church was about to be joined with Calvary Baptist Church and the difficulty within and the obstacles. My wife and I sitting in silence and tears and insufficiency and weakness. And the Holy Spirit steps in. And I remember when the elder meeting in the old building for the decision whether this property should be purchased that we're on here right now. And the negativity or the doubt or the cynicism started to rise. And the Holy Spirit silenced us, literally. And in brokenness and insufficiency, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to pray what you cannot possibly know. And here we are today. Larger examples, how many smaller, beautiful, powerful. We are brought to silence. We don't know. We shed tears. We share our weakness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, praying for God's will to be known and lived in our lives. When it comes to the will of God, the Holy Spirit groans for us in it. Secondly, when it comes to God's will, God uses all things to accomplish it. When it comes to God's will, God uses all things to accomplish it. Look at verse 28 now, the very, very famous verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Look at this verse for a second. Now, doesn't this verse make sense within our context now? Okay, often verse 28 is just seen at where it is. Verse 28, it's taken up, it's examined, it's unpacked, it's exhorted. That's fine, it's totally good. But again, the verses in its context is where it becomes most powerful. So now verse 28 in the context of verse 26 and verse 18 and all of these, notice the context of suffering, groaning, waiting, weakness, limitation, and unknowing. That's our context. Now, what does verse 28 become then? It becomes so much more powerful. It becomes enlightening for us. Listen, there's just too much we can't see, church. And yet, what we do know is that God knows.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.